And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Have a seat, guys. Find one if you can. Man, it is good to be with you this morning. Didn't Kim do a great job last week bringing the Word of God? Anybody excited? Man, Kim brought an incredible Word last week. So good. So grateful for Miss Kim. If she's watching today, I think she's off today. But man, we're so grateful for her love, her heart for Jesus, and how she teaches. And so today, I'm going to be all over the scriptures. But if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Exodus 33. This is where I want to start today. Exodus chapter 33. And as you're turning there, let me just give you a couple updates. I had mentioned a few weeks back that we were going to be starting a renovation at the church for our children's ministry. So I love that on Baby Dedication Sunday, I get to give you a little update. If you're walking by the gym, you'll see, man, there's a massive change going on in the gymnasium, which is awesome. You're going to see massive walls going up. And so we're taking a gymnasium that really wasn't the best use for our kids' ministry, and we are splitting it up into three rooms that will be used for kids' ministry, but also for other classroom settings. And so we're really pumped about that. And Larry's been doing a great job of heading that project up. So I just wanted to give you an update that's going and moving forward, and we're so excited to see. Hopefully by the end of the year, if not by the first of the year, we'll be able to use that area, which I'm really excited about for our kids, that we can bless them and minister to them even better. 2 weeks ago, I did what I thought was going to just be a one-off message entitled Glory to Glory. Glory to Glory. And as I was preparing this week, I actually thought I was going to go a completely different direction. We had another series lined up, but man, I didn't feel settled in it. And so I look back at the message that I preached 2 weeks ago. And if you hadn't listened to it yet, I would encourage you to go back and hear it, because it really is the heart. It really sets the tone for what I believe is going to be this next season of our church. And so over the next couple weeks, I want to go a little bit deeper into some of the things that I shared 2 weeks ago. I shared four areas as we're moving from glory two, remember that two? You guys remember the two? It's that uncomfortable piece where we're being transformed, glory to glory, that this next season for the church is going to be better than the previous season of the church. Does anybody else believe that besides me? When we read the scriptures, the future is always more glorious with God. Can somebody say amen? Are we awake up here today, right? And so as we're moving from glory to glory, I believe there's four things that are going to mark this next season of the church. Now, there could be a lot more than this. And when I say the next season, I don't mean the next week or 2 weeks. I mean potentially the next 10 to 20 years. God works in seasons. That's what he's done. We see historically, we see biblically, that's what he does. And so I think four things, and the next 4 weeks, I'm going to go after these a little bit more in depth. So the first one was simplicity. The simplicity is going to mark God's people. They're going to have a single focus. The next one was that there was going to be unity that marks God's people. And the scriptures are, man, I'm excited. And it just happens that I'm preaching unity right before the election. Somebody say, preach, come on. And then the next season, I believe, is going to be filled with wisdom and insight from heaven, that God's people are actually going to offer solutions to the world. And I'm so excited about that, man. I'm so excited. And then lastly is that in this next season, I believe that God is going to teach his people once again to walk in power. Power. Yeah, miracles, signs, and wonders like we just sang about, but also power to overcome sin, power to break cycles of sin, power to forgive, power to walk with humility. Man, how many of you know it takes a lot of power to walk with humility? And so over the next couple of weeks, I'm gonna take a weekend each and go after each one of these. And so today, I want to talk about simplicity. Now, when we talk about things that are simple, sometimes you think, oh, man, simple is not always a great term to use or whatnot. But when I say simplicity, I don't mean lazy, and I don't mean that we're not going to do anything. When I say that this next season is going to mark God's people with simplicity, I mean that there's going to be a focus and intentionality of the church like we haven't had before. And that focus and that intentionality, I believe, is going to be where we're turning back to the heart of God. We're returning back to what God had intended for his people for all time. And that is that we would be a people that gather around his presence, and that we value his presence more than anything else. Now when I say the word presence, that immediately, you're like, what does that even mean? Now, it's a deeply biblical word. We're going to see it throughout the scriptures today, even in Exodus chapter 33. But when we say the presence of God, what do we mean? We mean God himself. So I believe this next season is going to be marked with a people that we lift God back to where he belongs, where he has been all the time. But how many of you know sometimes we get things out of order a little bit? And but I get things out of order in my life. And so I believe that God is restoring a divine order to his bride, where he is our goal, he is our prize, he is our reward, that he is the beginning, he is the reason. And in that presence, we're gonna see some things today. And so I'm gonna be in Exodus chapter 33 to get us started here. In Exodus 33, Moses is leading the Israelites. They have already left Egypt after 400 years. And a lot has been happening in this time. Right before this, Moses had gone up to the mountain. He's talking with God, and as he's doing that, the people are rebelling. They're looking for another God. They're turning themselves from God, and they're worshiping a golden calf, and they're going after things that were contrary to God's heart. How many of you know the people of this world have turned their backs on God? Anybody else believe that? How many of you know we may not be worshiping golden calves nowadays, but how many of you know there's some idols in the earth right now? And so it's on the heels of that Moses cries out to God and says, God, I don't know what to do about these people, but would you forgive us? Would you meet us where we're at? And so God comes to him and says, I'm gonna lead you out of here. I'm gonna lead you to the promised land. And then Moses begins to talk to God. And in chapter 33, I want you to look at verse 14. It's so, so important that we see this today, because I think this is gonna mark the next season of this local church, but as the church at large. It says that God said to him, my presence, everybody say presence. It says, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. How many of you need some rest today? Man, my wife's reading this incredible book about the rhythms of following Jesus, and rest is so important. That's why we have the Sabbath, to teach us to take a deep breath and not take ourselves so seriously, to actually trust God. He says, my presence is going to go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. So Moses, man, he knows that God has said, I'm going to lead you to the promised land. But he said, listen, if your presence, if your manifest presence does not go with us, I do not want to go without you. He goes on to say in verse 16, he says, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? I and your people from every people on the face of the earth. Verse 17, the last verse here. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I will know you by name. Imagine that. I know you by name. And Moses said, please show me your what? Your glory. We're talking about moving from glory to glory. And so early on, Moses has this encounter with God, and then he says, show me your glory. And I love what God does. What does God show him as he shows him his glory? He shows him his goodness. Man, the glory of God is found in his holiness, his completeness, his wholeness, and his goodness. And so he says, show me your glory. But before this, he says, listen, God, I don't want to go anywhere where you're not going to go with me. I don't want to go do things if it's not what you're doing. I don't want to move from this place if you're not moving from this place. And then he said this profound thing that I think is so interesting. And he says, how else will we be distinct from every other people on the earth? See, Moses knew something really important. He knew that it was God's presence that differentiates his people. It wasn't God's people or the people that are the smartest on the earth. It's not that they have everything together. It's not that they have the best musicians. It's not that they can preach the best and communicate the best. It's not that they do all the right things and don't do the wrong things. No, what has always differentiated God's people from every other people on the earth is that his presence is with them. What differentiates us now? It's that the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, now resides in us. That's what makes me different than the people in the world. Do you know that? It's the presence of God. And I believe that it's the presence of God where people actually experience the living God, like we're saying, the God who is the living hope, that people experience God when they come to church and not a good message. My prayer since before I ever got here, the prayer that I had for my last church before I preached was, God, Man, I do want to preach. I want to honor you with my preaching. I want to honor you with the words that I say. I want them to be filtered through your heart. But at the end of the day, God, what I want more than anything else is I want the people, when they come into that room, to encounter the presence of the living God. Because it changes everything. How many of you know you can listen to a good message and not encounter the presence of God? How many of you know you can draw a big crowd with somebody who speaks really well? Anybody else agree with that? But what marked the early people of God, what marked the early church was that God was with them, that his presence was with them, that they were with him. And the reason why that's so important when we're talking about simplicity is that people, a people of God that are differentiated by his presence, they have one desire, and that's to be in fellowship with God. That the desire of God's people is to be in fellowship with him. Now, when you say this word fellowship, you know, it means different things to different people. And so here's just a definition of what that word fellowship means. If you look up the etymology of this word, it means to have communion with. It means to be united with. It means to be in companionship with or intimate partnership. And actually, at one point in history, that word fellowship meant to have intimate relations. You know, the husband and wife thing. That's actually what that word means. And so when we're talking about the simplicity of what God is bringing back to the church is that his presence is our priority. And in that, we would begin to make fellowship with him our priority in everything that we say and do. Everything that we endeavor to do as a church should be to lead us to fellowship with God. And honestly, that's why I'm loving the name of our church more and more. It's simple, isn't it? Christ, fellowship. And I think in this next season that simplicity of, man, our heart as a church is to walk in fellowship with God, that Christ fellowship, that companionship, that oneness, that partnership, I think is actually going to grow even deeper. And I think it's God's heart. Now, this word that I have this year from the Lord, I always ask the Lord, God, what do you want to teach me about this year? Maybe some of you have done that. Kim has done a great job of leading that the last few years where we just get before the Lord in prayer and say, God, what is the word you want to teach me about this year? Does anybody ever done that? You know, the kind of the word of the year. And so as I was praying this year, and Kate and I usually try to get away, and we thank God for the previous year and then ask him what he has for us this next year. And the word was fellowship for me. Fellowship. I want to teach you, Derek, what it means to be in fellowship with me. And I think this next season of the church is going to be marked with fellowship. And I say that because it's God's desire. And I know you've heard me, if you've heard me preach before, I don't have a lot of things, but I believe and have conviction about some things. And one of the things that I have deep conviction about is that we were created for fellowship with God. And I say that because if you look at the scriptures, which I love the scriptures, if you look at the scriptures from the very beginning and at the very end, you see something unique. How many of you know in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the world was as God desired it to be? Anybody know that? So when he created Adam and Eve, there was no sin, there was no separation. It was what God desired is what we see on the pages of the scriptures. And what we see in those early days of Adam and Eve is that they had fellowship with God. They walked with God. They talked to God. I almost started singing, Andy walked with me and he talked. It's just like that in the garden, right? It's that kind of relationship that they had with God, this deep fellowship with God. And in chapter 3, after the fall, after they separate from God and his ways, it says something interesting. It says in chapter 3, I think it's verse 8, it says that God was walking in the cool of the morning. Look at this. It says they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the what? What'd they hide from? What was it? Come on, we can talk out loud. What is it? The presence of God. So they hid themselves from the presence of God. So they're hiding behind a little oak tree or whatever. They're hiding from the presence of God, the Lord among the trees of the garden. And what most scholars would believe is that they already knew the sound of God walking in the garden. You know why they knew the sound? They knew it was the Lord coming in the garden because they'd heard him before. And you know what that means? That means they were accustomed to walking with the Lord, being in relationship with God, hearing his voice and talking to him. See, Genesis gives us a picture of what is God's desire for humanity. It's to be in relationship. It's to be in fellowship, in companionship, in deep intimacy. This was God's desire for you from the very beginning. So that's Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and we see 3 where we broke away from that. But in Revelation 21, we see once again the perfect will of God laid out on the earth. How many of you know right now God is restoring things on the earth? Do you know that? How many of you know that God's perfect will is not being right now established on the earth, but we're working towards it? Amen to that. Revelation 21, though, John is having a vision, and in this vision, he sees this future kingdom, this future earth, this future new earth and new heaven. And I believe it's the future that we have in eternity. It's our living hope. And in that, look what it says in Revelation chapter 21, just verse 3. This is God speaking. And he says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Genesis chapter 1, what did God want? He wanted fellowship with humanity. He wanted to walk and talk in the garden and be with his people that he created. Revelation 21, we go to the other end. What is the future inheritance of you and I as followers of Jesus? Is that we will spend eternity in the presence of God. The glory of God will be our son, and we will be in his midst, and we will know him and begin to know him more and more every day. And what we see is the future glory of the church. The future glory of God's people is marked with fellowship. And I believe that if Revelation 21 is our destination, that what God desires is to bring that more and more on the earth. This next season, I believe that he is inviting us to simplicity, where he is our focus and he is our desire. You know, 2020 has been interesting, to say the least. It's been filled with all kinds of things. You know, what's consistent is Tennessee's still not winning football games, but I was hopeful. I was hopeful this year. Then Alabama came and reminded them who they are. But 2020 has been interesting, man. It's been filled with a lot of different things. It's a new season. It's been a challenging time to lead in. You can't go read a book and say, man, how do you navigate what 2020's thrown at us? Nobody has done this before. Everybody's learning on the fly how to lead a church, how to lead a business, how to lead a classroom, how to Zoom, you know, lead kids, kindergartners. Can you imagine that? There's so much about 2020, but one of the beautiful things, and I preached on this early on in the series, or in the pandemic, is that this season was going to be a stripping season. That I personally don't believe this season is, or the pandemic is from the Lord. I personally don't believe that. But even as the enemy, I think, has desires for this pandemic, I think that God is working it for our good. Does anybody else believe that? And I believe in this season that God wants his bride to be stripped away of the things that we've tried to go after that's not him. The golden calves that we've put in our lives, all the other things that we've made this relationship with God, especially in the Western culture, I believe God's stripping that away and bringing us back to a beautiful simplicity where fellowship with God is our goal. And everything that we do as a church in this next season is unto deeper fellowship with God. That's what I believe. And so as we're praying what that looks like as a church, and as I look at my own life, as I study the scriptures, as I look at my own experience with the Lord, I want to give you just a couple areas that may help you understand this next season that we're going into, specifically around fellowship. And so if you're taking notes, I would love for you to write these down. I think for us to walk in fellowship with God, a few things have to happen. Number one, there has to be an awareness of God. You know, for my wife and I, when we were in college, we didn't know each other before college. We got to college, and I happened to be with a friend who was a mutual friend. We didn't know each other. I was sitting at Subway on High Street of the Ohio State University, and I was enjoying a sub, and there were some girls up at the cash register, and all of a sudden, I heard all these coins hit the ground, and I looked over. And I didn't realize that girl that I was going to see was going to be my wife one day. And she came over, you know, she saw me before I saw her, so she's like, who is this guy? And it's true. She can tell you the story. I didn't see her yet, but she saw me, and she came over, and she started talking to her, the friend I was eating with. And what was she doing? She was making me aware of her presence. You see, if I had never become aware of this beautiful young lady who was 19 years old in that moment, I never could have learned to walk with her and know her. See, if we're not aware of somebody, we can't be in relationship with somebody. And here's the thing about God. How many of you know God is everywhere? That's one of the beautiful things about God is he is everywhere. The psalmist says, man, where can I go to escape your presence? This is what the psalmist says. Where can I go to outrun where you're going? Nowhere is the answer. The resounding answer is you cannot go anywhere on the earth where God's presence is not already. But how many of you know we can miss God in our lives? If we look at a simple story in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is having this dream and he's seeing this incredible revelation of the staircase going up into heaven and there's angels descending and going up and down. But he says this thing that man, it catches my attention when we're talking about fellowship. We're talking about awareness of God. He says this in Genesis chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. It says, then Jacob woke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Everybody say, wow, wow. And he was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Listen, God is everywhere. He is. But there is an ability of humankind that we can miss out on where he's at. And so even today, as I was praying, or this week, as I was praying about today, this is the simplicity of my prayer. So if you want to get a clue in of how I pray for you as the people of Christ, here's what I pray. Lord, I pray that on Monday, when people go to the workplace, that they would say, oh my goodness, God is here, and I didn't even know it. When we go to our houses and we go to a place that maybe is not the most conducive to peace and we're sitting there with kids and frustration and a lack of peace, and in that moment you're like, oh my goodness, God is here and I didn't even realize it. I pray that in this season that we would be a people that, man, we know God is everywhere, but we would begin to look for him. We would become more aware of where he is and what he is doing, and that we would cultivate an awareness of God. And so as people that are charged to lead this church, as leadership, as a staff, as a board of directors, there's some things that we want to do in order to cultivate our awareness as a community. And so if you're taking notes, three things that are going to help us grow in awareness with the Lord. Number one is we grow in awareness with the Lord when we read his word. You know, one of the things I've been watching college football, a lot of it, is that that a lot of the teams have struggled in different areas. And a lot of the coaches have said, because we didn't have a spring practice, we haven't had all the pre-season things, that there's a lot of fundamentals that we're lacking. A lot of that is coaching, right? Or not coaching, but it's like tackling. So if you look at the defenses, they're struggling. And so what I think the coaches are trying to do in this season is they're trying to get back to the simplicity of football, which is blocking and tackling. How many of you know you can't score touchdowns if you don't have good blocking? How many of you know you can't stop the other team from scoring, which is the objective of defense, if you don't tackle them? And I believe in this season of simplicity that God is returning his people back to the blocking and tackling of our faith. And it begins with his word. I want you to know, if you're a part of this church, if you're watching online, you're trying to figure out, is this your place? I want you to know, we love this word. We love the word of God, because in this word of God, I get to know who God is, what he has to say about me, what he has to say about his bride, what he has to say about things of the world. I want to get to know God when I read this book. And so if we're going to be a people that are more aware of him, we are going to be a people that get our nose and our eyes and our thoughts into this book, and we begin to read it, not because a pastor said I have to, not because I got to check off the to-do list and make God feel better about me. No, I read this book, even if it's a verse or maybe it's 10 chapters in it, whatever it is, I read it with the intent as I want to get to know God. I want to become more aware of who he is and what he's like. And so when we read this word, man, that's what happened. And so as a church, we heard Jennifer talking about equip classes. Listen, I'm telling you, every equip class is drenched in God's word. Every equipped class is drenched in his word. We want to help our church study the word. We want to help the church know his word and walk in it so that we would grow in awareness of what is God like. And so when something happens on a Sunday morning or something happens on a Tuesday at work, we can know, is that the Lord or not? Is that God? Or is that something else happening? We got to get to know God in his word. The second piece is blocking and tackling. I'm telling you, this is not a profound message, but I'm telling you, we can't ever graduate from these three things, is that we got to be a people, if we're growing in awareness, that we are a people of prayer. He said, my Father's house is a house of what? It's a house of prayer for all people. And so, man, as a church, man, we're learning what it means to pray. And this phrase kept coming to me last night as I was preparing and wrapping up my notes, is that prayer is not about getting answers from God, but getting God's heart in mind. So when I say prayer, it's not God, I want you to just do the things I want you to do. Although how many of you know God loves to hear our desires? He loves to hear them. But how many of you know the heart of prayer, if you read the scriptures, is that I want to bring my needs to God, but then I sit with him and I hear from him and I begin to hear and see things the way that he hears and sees them. And then I can begin to pray prayers that are aligned with his heart. How many of you know sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask? Does anybody know that? How many know James says right after that, sometimes you don't receive because we ask wrongly. Do you know you can ask wrongly in prayer? Whew, that doesn't preach very much, does it? But we can actually ask wrongly, and we shouldn't expect to receive when we do that. And so in prayer, what am I doing in prayer? What is my heart in prayer? When I pray for our church, I'm saying, God, this is what I want for our church. And I give him my things. But then I say, God, what do you say about our church? And let me make this even more practical for us in the room. God, what do you say about my wife? How can I pray prayers that are aligned with your heart for my bride? How can I pray over my kids, my oldest to my middle to my youngest? What do you say about them? Because I don't know about you, but I want to pray prayers that are aligned with God's heart. And that's the beauty of prayer. It's so much humility. It's where we are actually transformed. It's not me trying to tell God what to do. How many of you know God doesn't have to do what you tell him to do? But in prayer, it's this incredible transaction where I actually learn to pray the prayers that he prays, where I humble myself and I listen and I align myself. And so we got reading the scriptures, we got prayer, and then the last thing is worship. With respect to awareness of God, worship is essential because worship is at its core. It's us responding to God. It's us being intentional. It's a community thing, but it's also a personal thing. And so as we pray through and how we're going to lead this church, I want you to know that, man, reading the word, prayer and worship are like the furnace room of Christ's fellowship. Everything we do as a church comes out of this desire to know God, to be aware of God. And so worship, what happens on a corporate setting like this is when we worship God, what are we doing? We are responding to him for who he is. It's not based on how I feel today. It's not based on, did I get the raise? Did I get the promotion? No. It's based on who he is. And let me tell you, he is not changing. And so when we worship in a congregation, we're responding to him. And what happens in that moment when we have these leaders leading us is we are setting our eyes on Jesus. We are stirring up one another's faith. And we are encouraging one another in the faith. Now let me just make sure we understand that what we do on a Sunday morning or what we do in the middle of the week in our prayer sets, that's not the end game. The end goal is that what happens on a Sunday morning, as my awareness of God grows, as I begin to become more aware of his presence, is that then when I go to work on Monday, when I go in my schoolroom on Tuesday, when I go into my community and do this and that, that I would be more aware of God and that my worship would overflow, my response to who he is. And so, man, awareness is so critical for us to actually be in fellowship with God. And so we want to be a people that grow in awareness of God. Even before we came out here today, our team, we prayed that we would just have an awareness of God. We literally pray when, you know, Missy's on the keys that she would not get so tuned into what she's doing that she would actually miss out on what God's doing. When we talk about our worship leaders, we're saying, man, yeah, you got to sing and you got to do your thing, but more than anything else, we want you to be aware of what God's doing in the room. What is he saying to you? And so we want to be people aware of God. The second piece of fellowship is desire. Desire. You know, first Kate had a desire for me, which I loved. But how many of you know the reason why we got married is because I had a desire for her? And I want you to know, if we're going to walk in fellowship with God, we got to recognize that He first desires you. Listen, I don't care what you did last night. I don't care how many years you've been in whatever addiction or whatever struggle you have. I don't care if you haven't been in church for a long time because you're scared that God's going to strike you dead, which is a lie of the enemy, by the way. I don't care what it is that you feel like is keeping you from being loved by God, but I want you to know this. God desires you. Yes, yes, you. Every person in this room, every person on this line that's going to watch it later, He desires to be in fellowship with each one of us. But in His extreme, amazing wisdom and insight, He's given us the ability to respond with a yes or no. I remember when Kate and I were dating. I don't know where I'm going down memory lane. I wasn't planning on doing this, baby, but I'm glad you're here. When we were dating, we realized pretty early on that we were serious, and I felt like I was going to marry her pretty early on. She told her mom, I think, the first month that I had found the guy that I was going to marry, and we were just babies. I was 18 years old. She was 19, and I'll never forget, we were coming into, was it fall break or spring break we were heading into? That we were getting a spring break. We were heading into spring break, and you know, we had said this long goodbye, you know, this gushy stuff, can't hardly leave, I'm going to die if I don't see you. And I had this little Ford Probe, don't judge me. Who names a car that anyhow? I don't know. But anyhow, I had a Ford Probe. It was a GT, so it was a little bit more manly. It was blue. She says it was purple. And I had pulled away, and everything in me as I was driving down the street said, I got to go back and I got to tell her how I feel about her. And so I'm like tearing up. I'm a guy that cries anyhow. So I begin to cry and I turn my little Ford Probe around. I go back to her dorm and I call her up on my block phone. You guys remember that? And I said, hey, can you come down to my car? And she comes down, sits in the passenger seat of my Ford Probe. And she doesn't know what I'm going to do. And I said, before I leave you for a week, it sounds funny. Before I leave you for a week, I need you to know something. I love you. I'd never told her that before. But I said, I love you. And in that moment, what was I making known? I was making known my desire for her. Thankfully, she responded and demonstrated her desire, and she said she loved me too. We made out for a while, and I said that for my 14-year-old down here. And this is the one streaming, of course. So online audience, I don't know what you're saying, but this second service might not get this detail. But in that moment, what was I doing? I was saying, I desire you. I want you. And here's what I want you to know about God is he has made it clear that He desires you. He has professed His love for you in a way that nobody ever has. Because when you were at your worst, He sent His Son to die for you. And what is that? That's a statement of saying, I love you and I want you. I love you and I want you so much that I will be willing to die for you. This is what I want. I want you to be with me. I love you. This is what He said. Literally, it's like I did in the Ford Probe. I love you. And here's the thing is we get to do is we get to respond or not respond. See, we love singing songs that God is running after us, that, man, God will knock down walls, that He is pursuing us. How many of you know God is pursuing every single person in this room? Everybody knows that. God is after you. They don't call Him the hound of heaven for no reason. There's a reason. He is pursuing you because He loves you. But here's the thing is the scriptures, as much as it talks about God pursuing us, we are invited for us to pursue Him as well. And we don't talk about that a whole lot because sometimes it gets a little religious. And I'm telling you, we are not a religious church. You can just look, I'm wearing a t-shirt preaching. We're not a religious church. But I'll tell you that the scriptures make it really clear that you and I are invited into a love story that requires us to respond. The scriptures tell us time and time again, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me, you will find me. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Matthew 7-ish, he says that if you seek me, you will what? Find me. If you ask me, you will what? You will hear an answer. And when you knock, what will happen? the door will answer. Let me read to you 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I love 1 Chronicles. I've been studying the life of David so much the last year and a half. 1 Chronicles says this, glory, there's that word, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord. Verse 11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Listen, if we want to be in fellowship with God, we got to learn to say yes to his desire, but also recognize that we've been invited into a love story that is inviting us to seek him first, to pursue him, to look for him. And here's the thing about God. We don't have to say, when I say I love you, we don't have to worry, is he going to say I love you too? He's already taken care of that. God, I want to be with you. We don't have to say, you know what? I don't have to worry about him saying, you know what? I really don't want to be with you. No, no, no. He says, if you seek me, you'll find. Those that seek me with all their heart, they will find me. And so, man, to be in fellowship with God means that I recognize his desire for me, but then a desire for him is also cultivated. And then the third piece, and I'll hit these a little faster, is that for us to be in fellowship requires communication with God. Now, once again, talking about my wife and I, and I can tell you how many phone calls we had where we just talked and talked and talked. Where we had dates where we would just talk. I'm like, how long can this person talk? Like, I don't know. Like, but we would just talk. And so we would communicate. She would send notes and she would make these beautiful little encouragement cards she'd send to me. And they'd have quotes for encouragement as I was playing football and studying. She was communicating her love for me. And so what I want you to know is, as we grow in fellowship with God, we can't expect to grow in fellowship with God if we're not in communication with God. Just think about your relationships, whether it's a friendship or whether it's a marriage, that there's no way to actually have a depth of relationship if there's no communication between two people. And if you look at why most marriages fail, it's because of a lack of communication, not usually. Somebody didn't tell them what kind of expectation they had, or somebody just they had shut their heart off, and so they weren't communicating. And so what we see is that if we want to walk in fellowship with God, we have to have a communication with God. And here at this church, that's why one of our core part of our mission is that we help people learn to hear God's voice. We learn to say, what is it like to be a person that walks in a conversational lifestyle with God, where I look for God in everything, where I sometimes hear God speak to me through other people, where I hear God speak to me through circumstances, I hear God speak to me through his word, I hear God speak to me as I ask him questions in prayer. I begin to have this conversational lifestyle with God, and in doing so, I begin to know him. I begin to know what it's like to have his perspective, and I grow in deeper relationship with this, which is his goal. And what I love about what God's doing in this specific context of our church, Christ Fellowship, is that we are endeavoring to be a church that's not just top down. We're a church that doesn't believe that you have to hear from God through a pastor. Can somebody just say amen to that? But that actually the org chart for our church, if you would say, is extremely flat. Jesus, everybody else. Is anybody sounding like that sounds amazing? That's the kind of church we want to have, and we want to help people grow. And what does it mean to walk in fellowship with God, to hear his voice, to know him, and not just rely on a pastor on Sunday? I'm telling you, there's going to be a season, whether it's in the next 30, 40 years or 200 years, I don't know, but there's going to be a season where there's going to be things that come against the Church of America. I pray that it doesn't hit my kids. I pray that it doesn't happen in my lifetime, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day in America, if it looks like all history, and if you look at any of the future prophetic words of writing, that there's going to be a challenging day for the church. Do you guys know that? There's going to be a day that followers of Jesus are not going to be able to depend on their pastor's sermons to get by. That we're actually going to have to be anchored and rooted into our own relationship with God, the word of God, prayer and worship, if we're going to continue to stay faithful. And so we want to be a people that learn to hear God's voice, not just through a pastor, but an intimacy and walking with the Lord, that we would speak to God, but we also believe he speaks to us. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, and then they follow. Man, I don't know of a better thing to endeavor to be as a church is to be a people that learn his voice, and we empower people to actually say yes. We encourage people to say yes to the Lord. If you look at the scriptures, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in the scriptures that you look up to, that you would want to model your life after, that does not have a conversational lifestyle with God, that didn't hear from the Lord. And so why would we be any different? We wouldn't be, right? And so we hear from the Lord, we have a conversation with him. And the fourth piece and the final piece today is that if we want to walk in fellowship with God, it requires us to walk in dependence upon God. It requires us to walk in dependence upon God. What I found out in my own relationship with God is that our fellowship with God grows as we step out in faith with God. When we actually put into practice obedience and step out with him, it's in that place that my depth of knowing of God, my fellowship with God, it's where that increases. And so if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to make the simplicity of making fellowship with him our priority, then we got to know that it's going to require us to step out in faith, to do things that we've never done before. To step out in faith when I feel like I hear the Lord, to step out in faith and follow in obedience to that thing that God has happened. And what I found in my own life is as we do that, as I take that step, what I feel like is I don't know the answer. God comes in with his grace and he meets me there. And one of the people that I think modeled this so well in the scripture is David. And next year I'm actually hoping to look at the entire life of David. I actually meant to do it this year, but with everything going on, I put it off. And so next year, 2021, I hope to just unpack David's life, because David, I think, gives us a beautiful picture of what it looks like to walk this earth in fellowship with God. But in Acts 13:22, this is the last verse that I have today, I believe. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says this about David. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Do you see this last line? I want you to see this. This is what God said about David. He said, I found a man, David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will. You know, as I look at David's life, all the things that I talked about today in fellowship with God, all the things I talked about, awareness of God, obedience to God, a desire of God, all the things that I talked about really come from me studying the life of David. When you think about David, he was a man that was deeply aware of God. Even when he was out shepherding his flock, what was he doing? He was aware of God's presence there in the pasture. What gets me excited is as I look at David's life and as he became king and as I begin to look at his leadership style, which, man, I want to be a leader like David so much in my life. I want to be modeled after who David is. And if I look at David's life in Chronicles, and what we see is that David, at an early part of his being king, is he prioritized the presence of God above everything else. One of the first things David did is he said, the Ark of the Covenant that's not been in the people's midst, he said, bring that Ark of the Covenant, set it right in the middle of the people, the presence of God. There it is, the priority. And then David did some incredible things. David would read the scriptures. The Psalms say that David loved the law of God. He loved the Torah. He loved to study the way of God, the laws of God, But then he did something interesting and something that was very costly, is he assigned people to pray in the tabernacle, in the temple. The tent, not the temple. And so he had a people that prayed. And he also had a people that worshiped. David set the Levites apart and set them and assigned them to worship God, to sing, to play the cymbal, to play the drums, to play the trumpets. Spent millions of dollars in order that there could be ongoing worship of God. Think about that. We would say that's so foolish. This is a man after God's own heart. This is how he operated. Worship, prayer, the word of God was essential to David. And we know from Psalm 27 that David had one desire. He had one desire, one thing he was after, and that was to dwell in God's house. David recognized that God had a desire for him, but he also desired God. Thirdly, we see that David walked in community with God. He walked in communication. He talked to God. We read the Psalms, and if you want to know how to pray, just read a psalm. Begin to pray the Psalms. This is David's prayer life that we see in written form, and so he had this conversation with God. But at the end of the day, what we see is that David also depended upon God. He trusted God. He stepped out in faith with God. To the best of his ability, he did the will of God. He became a man after God's own heart. But here's what I get so excited about when I think about this next season, when I think about the simplicity that God is restoring back to his people. It's this line, that God desires a people after his heart, not merely a person. Much of my prayer time over our church is around this, that we would not just be a church of a person or a couple people that are after God's heart, but I think what God is doing on the earth is he is raising up a people that are after his heart. A people that recognize that his presence is where life is, that his presence is everything. A people that prioritize the word of God, a people that prioritize prayer and worship, and out of that place of fellowship, they would go into the world and bring transformation. I believe that's what God is doing, and it gets me so excited. That we would not just be known as a person, but as a people after God's own heart. So today, I want to pray. I want us to pray together over the simplicity. And this week, this is maybe the homework for this week, is that you would take some time this week and say, what would it look like for you personally to simplify, to walk in simplicity? What are you going to prioritize as an individual or as a family, as a husband and wife? But what would it look like to bring some simplicity to your life? Right now, I just want us to pray over the church. If you guys would pray with me as we did 2 weeks ago, just that we would be a people that we walk in deep fellowship with God. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just in our small groups, but everywhere we go. So Lord, I thank you that the truth that we see in David's life, the life that we see Jesus live, is a life in deep oneness with you, an awareness of you, a desire for you and your ways. We'd be a people that hear your voice and have a heart to say yes, not just be hearers of the word, but actually be doers of your word. And that we would be dependent upon you, not on our vision or our ability to draw a crowd or to keep people busy, but we would be dependent upon you, that you would be our life source, that you would be the vision caster, that you would be the one who heals, that you would be the one that sets people free, that you would be the one that ushers salvation into our midst. So, right, I just want to give you a second. If today maybe you feel that you're far from the Lord, I just want you to know that he desires you. Given an invitation, he's made it known that he loves you so much. And so maybe today you just tell the Lord, I don't want you to raise your hand, I don't want you to stand up, we're not going to do any of that, but you in the quietness of your own soul and your own heart, just say to God, I want to walk with you. I want to learn what it means to actually be aware of you when I go to work tomorrow. I want to desire you. Lord, would you put a desire in me for you? Would you fan that into flame? Just tell the Lord, what are you desiring in this season? Lord, I pray for our church that we would live into our name, that we would be a people in fellowship with Christ. Lord, I pray that it would be your presence that marks our gatherings. It would be your presence that marks us as individuals that carry your Holy Spirit as we go everywhere we go. That rivers of living water would flow out of us. That people would encounter you. Lord, teach us to say no to the lesser things and yes to the one thing. May we be a people that desire and seek after one thing, to be with you. And may that mark every area of our lives. As we parent, as we work, as we're in our community, as we lead, as we follow, as we serve, as we go on mission, as we live on mission, may everything we do come back to fellowship. May we abide. It's in that abiding, Lord, that you say we would have much fruit. So, Lord, teach us to abide as a people. Strip away the things that we've made it that aren't of you. Strip away the activities that do not lead us to fellowship. Strip away everything that's not what you're doing in the season, Lord. And may what's be left be pure and holy and of you. Lord, we bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you meet with us, that you go with us. And so, Lord, I bless this people here, the people that are watching online. I bless them in your powerful name. Amen. Amen. Guys, you're deeply loved by God. You're loved by this community. Man, we're grateful to have you this morning. Man, have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine. And we'll see you next Sunday.